Good morning. How are you? It's good to be here. Why don't we pray and then we will get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you that when we gather together and sing to you that you hear us. And God, I thank you that when we read this book, you speak to us. This morning, God, we are here in large part because we together want to hear you in your word. So we pray, God, that your spirit would touch our hearts and draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, have you ever asked yourself, how can I move closer to God? How can I be closer to God? How can I feel closer to God? What do I do? I've been to church and there's something, but what do I do? What else do I do? How do I move closer down the path towards God? And we're looking at a little mini series in Matthew 5 where Jesus lays out a path where he says, okay, this is what it looks like to move step by step progressively closer to God. And the neat thing about this is it doesn't matter where you see yourself on that path. You go back and you can repeat the path because it's a layered path and you can keep going over and over and over it again. And the more that you go down these steps, the closer you draw to God. It's a series of sayings, if you look at Matthew 5, a series of sayings where Jesus starts each one by saying, happy or blessed is the one, fortunate is the one, blessed, happy is the person who, and then he describes something, and as we've been seeing, that the person that he says is happy or blessed or fortunate is not the what we would normally come up with in our minds of this is a blessed, fortunate, happy person. He doesn't mention BMWs or big houses or huge happy families or really good jobs or healthy long lives. He doesn't mention a lot of the things that we would say that's a happy, blessed person. What he does say, though, is in my kingdom, this is what it looks like to be happy, to be blessed. This is what it means to be happy in the kingdom of God. And each one of these sayings helps us because it shows us, okay, this is how I move closer to God. And so what we've seen up until now, we're on number five today, what we've seen in the first four is happy are those who look inside and recognize their wickedness. And then happy are those who, when they see their wickedness on the inside, mourn for that, as opposed to justifying it or hiding it away. Happy are those who are humble, who step off the throne of their life and stop being their own boss. Happy are those who desire God, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to be like God, who want to be close to God. And then today, in the fifth one, we'll read it. It brings out a huge reality about something that we just are on the inside of the way that we are, and it's not a great thing. So let's read it, and then we'll look at what this draws out of us. Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So Jesus says, okay, we should be merciful. We should give grace. We should give love. We should help. We should serve. We should be people who take compassion on those around us, who are compassionate and act on that compassion. We should be merciful people. That's what we should be like. And we read this, and maybe you're different, but I think most of us, we read that and say, oh, that's nice. That's good. I should be like that. I don't think reading that and saying, okay, I should be merciful, I should be loving, I should be gracious, I should have compassion. I don't think that inspires enthusiasm in any of us, though. Maybe you're different, but for me, I read this, I say, yeah, I should be more like that. I feel a little tinge of guilt. I say, yeah, I should be a little more like that. But I don't feel just jump up and down enthusiastic with, I should help people. I should give to people. I should have compassion and feel the pain of the people around me and then help them. I don't jump up and down for joy when I read that and say, yes, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. And you know, at the worst, I feel a little bit irritated that I'm reminded I need to be better to other people than I am. because it's something else. It's something that I don't, just don't feel it. Oh, at the best, it goes in the category of, yeah, that's something I should do. And then I move on with my life. And when, if that's your reaction at all, if that's, when I see that reaction in me, that tells me something about myself. When Jesus saying, be merciful, feel people's pain, act on that feeling, help people, give yourself to other people. When I hear that and my reaction is, I should do that. I should be nicer. Or maybe I start listing off some of the nice things I do in my mind so I don't feel guilty about not being a better person. Well, when that's my reaction, that tells me something about myself. It tells me that I'm selfish. It tells me that I'm a selfish person. I'm not enthusiastic about being merciful, giving mercy, because, well, I honestly would rather receive. I'm not as all excited about being nice to you because I want you to be nice to me. That's really what I feel. I never go home after being with people and complain that I wasn't nice enough to them. But if I feel snubbed by you, I'll mention that to my wife, right? I'm not as worried about how I treat you as I am about how you treat me. And I never feel snubbed by you. That was just an example, right? Okay. I don't lose sleep over not helping you enough or giving to you. I do lose sleep when I don't feel like I'm being helped enough. I want you to forgive me when I do something that I shouldn't do, and I want you to forgive me, but I want to be able to carry around that little irritation with you. We would call it bitterness, but that just sounds bad. I want to be irritated. I want to be able to be irritated with you for a while after you've been, done something to me, but I want you to immediately forgive me and just get over it immediately. I want to receive mercy. I don't think that much about giving mercy to other people. I'm selfish. And Jesus said, happy are those who are merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So in the middle of my selfishness, Jesus drops down another motivation for being merciful. He gives a motivation for being merciful that is an unexpected motivation, because being merciful is about giving, right? What is his motivation? Be merciful, give, serve. Why? You will be happy. Doesn't that sound like a selfish motivation? You be merciful. Why should I be merciful? Well, you're going to be happy. Well, that is a motivation, and it's a motivation that Jesus gives. He says that you will be happy. Your ultimate happiness depends, at least according to this verse, in large part on how merciful you are to other people. You should be merciful. I should be merciful because I will be happier when I am more merciful. And that catches my interest because I want to be happy. And so let's dig into, okay, what does it mean to be merciful? If our happiness, our being blessed, our being fortunate in the eyes of God, if that depends on our being merciful, if it's tied to that, okay, what does it mean to be merciful? What is having mercy, what does that look like? It starts as an emotion. Mercy is something that comes from the inside, is something you feel. It's an emotion, it's love, it's compassion. It's seeing people's weakness and their inability. And instead of scoffing, even on the inside, because you're better than them, and their weakness and their inability and their lack and what they don't have, is just another evidence that you are so much better than them. You have it better off. You are a better person. You're more disciplined than that person. And their weakness and their the place they're at in life is just another sign that you have it better off, that you are the person you think you are, because at least you're not like them. Please tell me I'm not the only one who sometimes feels that on the inside. See, mercy is feeling compassion for the other person's weakness, for their lack. It's feeling compassion for them. And we are very quick, sometimes rightly, but we're very quick to do this. Whether it's correct or not, we're very quick to justify not having mercy for other people when they are in a worse place than they're not in a good place, whatever that means, spiritually, physically, economically, by listing out the reasons in our mind of why it's their fault. If they wouldn't have just done this, this, and this, if they do this, they've had this chance, and we quickly jump to, I'm justified in not having mercy and not feeling compassion for that person. Mercy, blessed are the merciful. Mercy is an emotion. It's desiring the best for someone else, physically and spiritually, for this life and for all of eternity. And this is something that Jesus was full of. One of the phrases that's repeated over and over again is, well, Matthew 14:14 says it, but it's all over. You can do a search and it just pops up everywhere. This was always being said about Jesus. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. That's not the one that's being repeated. It's and that he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. That's something that is said about Jesus over and over again. He looked at people's lack. He looked at people's need. He looked at people's weakness. He felt compassion for them. Instead of feeling better about himself because he wasn't like them, instead of feeling judgmental because if they would have just, he felt compassion for them. That's being merciful. And then look at how Matthew 14:14 continues, because that carries us on to the next part of what it means to be merciful. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, mercy starts as an emotion. Its first layer is an emotion. It's like a, what do you call those things with bananas and ice cream, three different kinds of ice cream? Banana split. It's like a banana split. It starts with a banana. You have to have that. That's the first layer of it, right? That's the first layer of being merciful is an emotion. It's feeling something. But then it always leaks out into, it turns into, the second layer is actions. And being merciful is not just, I feel your pain and then going off. It's doing something about the pain that you feel for the other person. That's what mercy is. It's meeting needs. So look further in Matthew 20, verse 26. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be, this is Jesus talking, you can read the context later, but grab what he's saying, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man, that's him, Jesus referring to himself, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's meeting needs. It's meeting physical needs, and it's meeting spiritual needs, like Jesus did when he gave his life as a ransom for many, like Paul describes. Look at 1 Corinthians, just a little farther down. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 19, he's talking about how he proclaims the gospel to people, how he talks to them about Jesus, and look at what his motivation is and why he does it. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. See, mercy is an emotion. It's having compassion and love for people, desiring, wanting the best for them. It's not just doing something nice for someone and because you have to. And it starts from the heart. It flows into actions, meeting physical and meeting spiritual needs. What does that really look like then in like real life for you and I? What does it mean to feel that and then to meet people's physical and spiritual needs? The good thing about this is it's so practical. It's you probably could fill in the blanks you probably already have in your mind. What does that look like? Well, we show mercy to people by proclaiming the gospel to them. One of the most merciful things you and I can do is like what Paul said when he said, I become a servant to all. Well, we can tell people about Jesus. See, sometimes when we think about telling people about Jesus, we get caught up. I get caught up in, I'm getting nervous. I'm not sure what to say. And what if they say no? And we forget at its root, When I tell someone about Jesus, when you tell someone you work with about Jesus, when you pray for your neighbor or your best friend and then you tell them about Jesus, when we sit down and read the Bible with someone who's not a Christian, when we do a study with someone, when we walk them through that decision, when we bring them to the point of them making the decision to repent, to be baptized, and follow Jesus, when we tell people about Jesus, we are showing the greatest act of mercy possible because we are helping that person come to have peace with God for all of eternity, to become God's child, to be reconciled with their Creator. That is the most incredible thing that could happen to someone. And we are showing mercy as we help and walk someone through that. We show mercy when we open our lives to people and share friendship. We show mercy when we give, whether it's money or physical things or food. When we help and we serve with whatever the person's need is in the moment. When we treat people well, no matter what they're at, where they're at in life, when we treat them with humanity, with love and patience and kindness as people, when we forgive and when we don't hold on to that bitterness or that irritation that we feel towards others, that's what it means to show mercy, to be merciful. The problem with all of that, with giving and serving and loving and telling people about Jesus who haven't done anything to deserve it from us, the problem with that is that we tend to measure how much we give by how much the person deserves. Whether that's like a blatant transaction thing, you know, you help me move, so I will help you move, and then we're even, unless you do something for me again, then I'll have to do something for you. Or whether it's we measure how much we help someone based on what they've done to help themselves. Whether we open our lives up to people who have been nice to us or even to people who have been mean to us. We tend to measure just by default how much we give others, how much we open ourselves up, and how much we express love and mercy to other people by how much they deserve it. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for yourself lately? Do you deserve this? And even though that sounds horrible to say, that's kind of how we tend to measure how much we help other people. And no one really deserves that much from anybody else. I mean, unless, you know, somebody has saved your life, they don't really deserve that much from you. I mean, what's the best, biggest thing someone's done for you? So there's a few people, but the list is small. Most people offend us. Most people don't give us the sufficient respect or the courtesy that we deserve, or they're not as nice to us as they could be, or they don't open their lives to us the way they could, or they couldn't do anything or wouldn't do anything to repay us for our kindness. So for the most part, most people don't deserve very much from other people. Maybe if you know, have that nice parking place in Sam's and I'm coming up and you let me take it instead of you, you'll deserve a wave from me. But there's not a lot of, you know, deserving that goes on. We don't deserve that much from each other most of the time. And so we tend not to give very much most of the time because we measure what we give based on what we deserve. But being merciful is not about what you deserve. Being merciful is about grace. It's having grace. It's treating someone better than they deserve to be treated. Every time someone feels the emotion of mercy, compassion, love for you, and helps you, gives you something, guides you, invests in your life, helps you with whatever you're facing at that moment, they're giving you something that you probably don't deserve. They're treating you better than you deserve. It's teaching someone then who hasn't always treated you well. It's telling that person about Jesus and helping them have life. And they haven't done anything to deserve that. In fact, because of the way they've treated you, maybe they deserve for you just to ignore them. It's serving someone who hasn't served you. It's giving to someone who hasn't given to you or won't give to you. It's forgiving someone who's offended you, not because they've come groveling, asking for forgiveness in the right way, so now they deserve your forgiveness. No, because you have compassion for them. So you could say that Jesus is saying, happy are those who treat others better than they deserve to be treated. Happy are those who treat others better than they deserve to be treated. Blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. That's treating people, inherent in showing mercy is treating people better than they deserve to be treated. We have to get over the thing in our mind that says they don't deserve that. They don't deserve whatever it is. They don't deserve this from me. The measuring how much I give by how much the person deserves. They don't deserve it because they haven't given me the equivalent. They don't deserve it because they've hurt me. They don't deserve it because they won't be able to repay me. It's getting over that and saying, I feel for them. I love them. And I will serve them and help them. And then look at how Jesus ends it. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Jesus says that the mercy that we give other people is related to the mercy that we receive from God. We give mercy, we receive mercy. And now think about that for a minute. That's an incredible promise because we need mercy from God, don't we? If you think about it in terms of, okay, getting what we deserve, like I was just saying, okay, what do we deserve from God? We've rebelled against Him. We're made in His image to reflect who He is, and we've rebelled against Him and said, I'm going to make my own way and be my own person. We deserve His wrath. We deserve His judgment. We deserve to be separated from Him for all of eternity. We can't do anything for God that means anything. We can't serve Him and give Him something that He would say, wow, that's incredible. It's like when a two-year-old paints you a picture and you say, that's beautiful. It's your love for me. I accept it. But that's not the beautiful art that I would, you know, buy from a museum. You're not giving me something of value in a worldly sense. Value in a heart sense, yes. I still have some things on my wall in my office. I'm probably never going to take them down because... But they're not worldly. We can't give God anything to deserve His goodness to us. And He has given us everything. So Jesus says, blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy. How does that work? What is He saying? You could read that and say, okay, do I receive mercy from God because I give mercy to other people? In other words, do I receive the same amount of mercy from God that I get from other people? And so there's a mercy meter in heaven, and the more merciful that I am to other people, the more mercy I'll receive from God. And maybe if I get to the end of my life and I've given enough mercy, God will say, okay, we're good. Is that how it works? Well, that goes against everything that the rest of Jesus' teaching and everything Paul says in the rest of the Bible and in the New Testament. That just goes against the gospel message of grace. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that in the same way that you give some mercy, you'll get that much mercy from God, and you're building up this bank account, and you're earning God's favor, and you're earning your salvation. I was just reading this morning in my reading, Ephesians 2. Read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. That's not the gospel. But Jesus is saying that the mercy we give is related to the mercy we receive. In the sense that when I have been blessed by God and given God's mercy, and I understand that, that will produce mercy from me. And if I am a merciful person, showing that I am God's child, because I am God's child, then I will receive mercy from my Father, not just in this life, but on the last day. But if I go through life as a hard, cold, unmerciful person, showing that I haven't received mercy from the Father, or I don't understand the mercy that I received from the Father, and I don't give that mercy, I will get to the end of my days, and I will be told, like Jesus says in Matthew 25, I will be one of the goats, and He will say, away from me, I never knew you. Why? Because with my life, I didn't show the mercy that I had received. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. We give mercy because we've received mercy. We receive mercy from God when He draws us to Himself, when He saves us, and every day after that. And we're supposed to give that same mercy to others. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So you are God's beloved children. Imitate Him. How do we imitate Him? And walk in love. What kind of love? As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Why do we give mercy? Because we received mercy. Because our Father has been merciful to us. We receive the mercy that we give the mercy that we've received from God. And we also, like Jesus says, we give mercy because we will receive mercy. Not in the sense that we earn our salvation, but in the sense that if I am not a merciful person, that is a persistent sin that either will separate me from God, like all persistent sin does. If I am not loving, that will separate me from God, and I will become less and less loving, less and less like my Father, farther and farther from God, until at some point that relationship with God will be severed, and I will not be His child, because I will have moved away from Him. Or if I don't show mercy, it will be a sign of, you never received mercy. You don't really know the mercy of God. Either way, God's children are to be merciful. And as we are merciful, we demonstrate that we have received mercy from God. And not being merciful will result in us losing the mercy that we've received. We are to be merciful like our Father is merciful. Actually, I wrote this, so I'm just going to read it. God had, has, and will have mercy on His children. Between His past and present and future mercy, He calls us to have the same mercy on others. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So if we are happy when we are merciful, like our Father has been merciful to us, like our Father will be merciful to us for all of eternity, what should we do? We should receive His mercy. We should give His mercy. We should receive God's mercy. We should receive God's mercy and become His children. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. It's receiving that mercy, becoming God's child, having His love poured out on you in your heart through His Spirit, having your sins washed away. And if you say, how do I receive God's mercy? You give yourself to Him. You receive Him as Savior and Lord by repenting and being baptized. Read Acts 2:38. You repent and are baptized and make a decision with your mind and your heart and your body and give yourself to Jesus, and you receive His forgiveness and you receive the Holy Spirit and you receive the Father's mercy. And when you receive that mercy, what should you do? Maybe you're on the other side of that decision. You say, okay, what do I do with that mercy that I've received? We're supposed to give the mercy that we've received from God to other people. So let me ask you a couple of questions to help you. Help us think through this. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Who has treated you poorly and doesn't, and who do you need to forgive? And who can you bless? Who can you bless? Who is in your life right now? And you could bless that person by doing something practical for them. Whether it's opening up the Bible and teaching them about Jesus, or helping them with something in their life, something physical, or giving something to them, or serving them, opening your life and your friendship. Who can you bless? Who can you show mercy to? And maybe you have to ask yourself the question, who doesn't deserve anything good from me? Who won't be able to pay me back? Who can I bless? If you would ask yourself that question right now, and then as the Spirit leads you today, bless that person. Open up your heart and your hands to that person and bless them. And then, would you ask yourself that question this week? Would you start your day by asking yourself that question, who can I bless? Who have you put in my life? God, who should I be merciful to? How can I be merciful to someone that you've put in my life today? And what if we did that this week? What if every day when we got up, we asked God that question, and we were just open to the Spirit leading us, and as we went through the day, through the rest of this week, we would just be open, and don't you think that God would put things in front of us, opportunities to be merciful, maybe in small ways, maybe in big ways, And if we've already decided in the morning, I'm going to say yes to that, then we would just do it. What would that look like this week if we were to do that? That's our challenge. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you love us. Thank you for your mercy. We do not deserve your love and your grace and your favor, and you lavish them upon us. Everything from the breath we breathe to your spirit fills your children. You are good, God. I pray, God, that you would, through the words of Jesus, warm our hearts to feel that same compassion and love for other people, the people you put in our lives, and that every day you would give us moments where we can be merciful to other people, and that you would give us the courage to get outside of our selfishness and actually do acts of mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.